Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice video on mandate. Get it on and welcome to a special episode of CarCast. Today's episode brought to you by Evans Coolant. To learn more about waterless coolants, and I suggest you do, check out their site at evanscoolant.com/fightback. That's evanscoolant.com/fightback. Fight back against the water in your coolant. It's no good, man. So we have a special episode because we went down to the Peterson Automotive Museum and we got some cool interviews and looked at some cool cars.
Yeah, so we let's kick things off. We invited Jay Leno up, and then we're going to take a look at Mike Brewer. He's going to tell us a little bit about his car. He bought a Porsche 911 SC, which you're going to love. And then you and I chat with somebody who brought a very cool conversion, a Porsche 911 converted to all electric.
Which was really impressive to me because it looked bone stock.
Wait till you hear about it. It's fantastic.
All right, everybody, welcome again to the 10th anniversary. The Adam Carolla Show, the car show portion. If you guys bring your attention over here to the stage, we're going to bring up some important people. And I'm just going to hand them microphones from right here. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Adam Carolla.
And thank you. And Matt D'Andrea as well. I guess we'll step up here.
Oh, thank you.
See if we get feedback or not. Hey, you guys can all gather around here, and then we'll drink some beers
Don't
and look
get
at
any
some
closer
cars.
Than that line, right? No, I'm kidding. You guys can.
So
10 years.
10 years of doing CarCast, and we finally decided to have an event. So thank you guys for listening, supporting, and showing up. There's some really great cars, and this is going to be some tough decisions to make.
We are going to have a little bit of a competition. We're going to do some judging. We're going to hand out some awards. I'm not exactly sure when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Judging's going to happen as we walk around.
Right, and I never stopped judging, so we shouldn't. You guys know that. It's internal. This time I'm going to externalize it. I want to thank our buddy Jay Leno for coming out here. Jay, you can come up and say hi if you like.
I say we got our own law in this town. Let's string them up right now. Yeah.
Jeff Dunham is here.
Jeff Dunham
drove his
the only purple Ford GT.
The only purple Ford GT. Quiet and understated. That's just like his comedy.
Nobody wanted another one. That's why it's the only one.
That is going to just continue to go up in value, Jeff Dunham. Mike Brewer's here as well. Good to see you, Mike.
Mike brought a 911.
And, there's some really great, there's some great stuff just in the
Diversity
just in the Porsche
is just really
department.
Cool. Yes. I hate it when it's a one-make car show. It's all just Mustangs or just 911s. But you got everything here. You got Oldsmobiles from the 20s. You got a 56 Lincoln. You got Porsches. You got Ford GT. So it's really great to see the whole wide breadth of the car.
Have you ever been to just a Jensen car show? Just all
Jay's Jensen is a car you'll never see in the wild. And speaking of diversity, the one black man here, Willie T. Ribbs.
Yeah, Willie T. Ribbs.
And
Adam has made a wonderful movie about him. It's really good. I told you how much I enjoy. You know, I've known him just to be kind of an asshole, but he's actually just a brilliant filmmaker. He really captured Willie's spirit and the whole struggle without being, you know, maudlin or any of that crap. I mean, it's a really good, good documentary, one of the best I've seen. And it appeals to people who are not car people because it's a great human story. And it's really thrilling. You're going to show it tonight, right?
We're going to show it tonight. And I've got to say, one of the thrills of, and there are not a lot of thrills in making documentaries, but whenever we're done, and we've done it times three now, Jay invites us over to a shop, and we sit down on the old Tonight Show set, and we screen it for Jay and Willie.
And it's three for three. It's really good. This one with the Paul Newman one I love, but this one obviously has
You know, Paul Newman was a movie star and was famous, so doors opened. You know, it's fun to, when you watch Willie's, you realize you saw doors closed.
Right.
You know, just for racial shit and just crazy stuff like that. And how we overcame it and dealt with it, it's, I think you're really going to enjoy it. Let's get Willie up here. Willie, come up here and say hello.
Come on up here, Willie.
Willie T. Ribbs, ladies and gentlemen.
Willie, in from outside of Austin, right?
I know it sounds like a porn name, but that's his real name. Yeah.
You got to have meat.
I got to say that Jay was, he was touched, almost moved to tears by Uppity, the Willie T. Ribbs story.
I thought it was really, because, you know, it's the best car movies are the ones that are about people, you know, and that's what this is. It's a great human story, and you know, this is a tough guy. You don't want to mess with him, but he's very vulnerable in this film.
Yeah.
And the fact you opened up, and it's really good. I was really proud of you, man. You did
a
great job.
A lot of people don't know how long we go back.
We go back to the Tonight Show, yeah.
Yeah, we went to actually, it started at the Long Beach Grand Prix. I think it was 1987, and Long Beach has
the Celebrity Grand Prix. I got beat by Helen Hayes. Yeah, I remember that.
The Toyota celebrity race they do there, and they have Donny Osmond and Jay Leno.
Big stars.
And they were, and there's three pros. Well, that year was Gurney, myself, and Parnelli Jones.
That's right.
Well, I was trying to pass Jay Leno. We were lapping him, by the way. And I was trying to pass him, and the guy, I mean, he looked like a sidewinder rattlesnake, because I live in Texas, so we got a lot of those. And he was going down the straightaway.
You're trying to lap me, not pass me.
He was weaving. And I was trying to find a way by. Well, I got up close to the wall, and I sort of nudged him up against the wall, and his mirror came off. And he was, like, pushing it through. He threw it out the cockpit window because it fell in his lap.
I remember I was right behind Dan Gurney. I said, I'm just going to do everything Dan Gurney does. Okay, Dan Gurney. Okay, and he hits the brake. And then I go, where's Dan Gurney? Look at my rearview mirror. Oh, he's right behind me. Yeah, he lapped me. Yeah.
Well, you saw me coming because I was smiling, and you could see my teeth.
Stop with that.
All right, so how many people are hanging out for the screening of Uppity? We're going to do about 4:45.
Good.
We're going to enjoy that. This is our first. Hopefully, we'll do it each and every year.
Are you guys going to do a little Q&A after the movie?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do, Willie and I are going to do a little, along with Nate, who made the film with us, we're going to do a little Q&A after the film, so we'll have that as well. And for now, stroll around, enjoy, bug the bejesus out of Jay Leno, and we're just going to be strolling and enjoying. Thank you guys.
And your car could win.
Your car could win.
Oh, my God, I'm in charge.
And believe me, $10,000 is not a small amount of money. I want to thank Adam for doing that for the winner, the 10 grand prize. That's really terrific.
Yeah.
That'll buy a college education or something. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Judging can be bought.
Yes,
I'm just saying.
It can be bought. All right, thanks, you guys.
Thank
stroll
you.
And enjoy. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Willie.
My name's Mike Brewer. This is Adam Carolla's 10th anniversary podcast. It's on the rooftop of the world-class, amazing Peterson Museum, and it's an honour to be here. And I'm here not only displaying my cars, but I'm going to be helping judge some of the array of cars that have turned up. And it's very eclectic, and there's all kind of cars here, from rattle cans to pristine $100,000 restoration. So it's going to be a difficult job to choose one out.
What kind of car did you bring today?
I bought this. This is my beloved 1982 Porsche 911 SE. 3-litre engine, 200 horsepower, so not that much. But back in the day, I would imagine it was a lot of power. But the car is in beautiful condition. It's laser straight. And it's my daily driver with my wife, Michelle. We sit in this car and use it every day. We love it.
And how long have you been a car fan? What's your...
I started in the car industry when I was 8 years of age, believe it or not. So my dad, it was a bit Dickensian back in England in those days. My dad used to take me to the workshop and make me work for him my summer holidays working on cars. And by the time I was 15, I'd already bought a car. And by the time I was 16, I'd flipped the car. And I've been flipping cars ever since. And then I started the whole car flipping TV show idea, and I started doing that in 1997. I was the very first person in the world to show somebody how to buy a car, fix it up and sell it on TV. And now we've got the world's biggest car show, Wheeler Dealers. We're in 200 countries, over 200 million viewers around the world, and we have hundreds of car shows. And it all came from my dad making me work like a Dickensian child in that cold, damp workshop when I was eight. Child labour. You know, today you get locked up for that. But my dad got away with it.
Been to some of those shops in London.
Yes.
Was it in London?
It was in London, yes. It was South London. Yeah, they were miserable days. But I remember him fondly. Now I'm older and slightly wealthier. I remember him fondly. Thanks, Dad. You were great.
So tell me about, are you a Porsche guy? What's your main car?
Listen, if this was a lawnmower, if you can put gas in it, petrol in it, and I can drive it from A to B, I go nuts about it. I'm just obsessed with anything that moves. I've been a car guy all my life, and I've had everything from, you've seen it on TV, from pieces of junk up to hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cars. And for me, it doesn't matter. It's what a car does, how it emotes me, how it moves me when I'm behind the wheel, and what kind of thrill it gives me. At the moment, I'm having a love affair with this. This is a very plugged-in car. It's a very analog experience. It's not like a modern driver where everything's computerized and thought up for you. Crash awareness and air conditioning and ABS brakes. This is completely analog, this experience, and you have to drive it, and it makes it much more pure. But tomorrow I could be driving something that's a brass era car, and I'll be excited and giddy over that as well. So for me, I love cars from all over the world in any shape or form.
Mike, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Who's got my check?
So what we have here is a 66 912, and it's all electric.
Yeah.
It's been converted to electric. I talked to the owner, so I'll just recall what I've learned. First off, it's cool. All the batteries are in the front. The motor's in the rear. The motor just goes right onto the transaxle.
And interesting that you can shift gears with the electric motor.
Yeah, so essentially it's like when they do the starter on the Indy car, back in the day, like they just hit it.
Yeah,
it's like
or RC car, little gas engine RC
car.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just yeah. bolted. It's just a big motor that's just bolted right onto the where the cover would be for the engine would have been on the transaxle. 100 miles per charge.
Yeah.
Quicker than the in stock form, 912. 50-50 weight balance now.
Because the battery's in the front.
Because the battery's in the front. Everything is just bolted up. So it could be unbolted in the 912 motor and everything could be put back.
I got a chance to talk to the guy as well, the owner of the vehicle, and he said overall it added about 200 pounds total to the whole thing, which is, it's like having somebody else in the car. It's not that big of a deal. And I think with the increased power, it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's like having two-thirds of one of your girlfriends in the car.
Well,
he likes them big. It looked, you know, aesthetically did not change.
It didn't change
anything. And I hope this is a trend, because I drove over here in a Tesla and it was fine, but it doesn't look like this.
Now, I don't recall who made the motor, the electric motor, but the batteries are basically like a Tesla battery, but it's like one-third of a Tesla battery. By the way, the car looks fantastic. The silver with the red is so on point, and it's just gorgeous.
Right. So you can get your classic car converted to electric, or at least your 912, and if you're going to convert a Porsche to electric, go 912 and probably keep the engine in the 911. And by the way, now we do have to distinguish between motor and engine.
Yes.
Back in the day, you're like Detroit Motor City, but it was an engine.
I was always thinking engine, gas, fuel, motor is electric. In my mind, I think
right,
motor.
But you didn't have to worry about that 10 years ago. You just go, what size motor's in this thing? And the guy wouldn't tell you how big the armature was.
Right.
Well, wasn't that scintillating? And don't worry, there is more to go. First, let me tell you about Evan's Coolant. Water in your coolant, it's ruthless, man. It's bad for everything. It just, it, you think about, well, it expands when it gets hot, but then it also corrodes like just 24/7. That's all it does. All the
builds up pressure.
All the crazy cars. Pressure. And all the cars in the museum all have ovens in it because they don't want the water. They want the car sitting there for long periods of time with water in it.
Yeah, and it's a much easier cleanup if something goes wrong.
Yep, it has a very water has a low boiling point. It vaporizes. It builds up pressure in the cooling system. It leads to boil over and burst hoses. Oh, that's right. It's not always that. Sometimes you just burst a hose or blow a head gasket. Evans, it's the only waterless coolant on the market. Don't you want the best for your baby? Virtually eliminates the vapor in your engine, preventing systems and pressures from overloading and bursting and hoses and electrolysis and corrosion in your cooling system, all that stuff. NHRA approved, and you use it. They all use it at the drag strip. Check out their site at evanscooling.com/fightback. That's evanscooling.com/fightback. You really should be going waterless, and that's Evans. All right, so now, Matt, we're going to Jeff Dunham came out there, brought his Ford GT.
Yep, very special custom color. He only had 100 miles on it. He just got it. He put like 20 miles coming out to the on his car coming out to our event.
What a mensch. And you can also check out Mike Torville, we talked to from Evans, about his product and beyond. So let's give that a listen. Jeff Dunham and his purple Ford GT, not GT40, Ford GT. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you, Adam. Thanks a lot. And by the way, thanks for having me to this. It's really nice. And it's a high-dollar event. I just love the fact that you had the cheapest Bic pen possible.
Oh, my God.
Known to man. I think it's like a quarter.
Here's the thing.
I'm
a big wheel, but there's a lot of shopping cart wheels here. And
right.
I got to sign autographs. And if I bring out my Mont Blanc, they'll steal it.
Of course.
Because they're desperate peasants, so I just bring this.
I understand.
And they'll be using this later on in prison to give themselves tattoos, you know. But you're right. I should put it in my pocket.
That's pretty great. I made one comment, and you did 5 minutes on it.
I love that. That's
we worked it out in the elevator on the ride in. This is Jay Leno says the only purple Ford GT on the planet.
Well, I think you guys know one other guy that has a purple one. It's the it's a more pinky purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Graham Rahal.
Is that it?
I think
But this is a 101.
This is kind of look. I know we have a large gay constituency here. When they're both gay colors. This one's the top.
Okay.
Graham Rahal is the bottom GT, and this is the top GT. Both gay, no arguments there, but one's in charge.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
If that's the way you feel about it.
I don't make up the rules. I just go by them.
It's just because you hated I hated your pen. I started on the wrong foot.
I called you the top.
It's always better to be on top when... Never mind.
Graham's Ford GT is biting a pillow while... Okay, you get the metaphor.
Poor Graham is going to be in the meme to promote the show going, Graham Rahal's the bottom.
You know, I will say this. I had my ACR Viper painted the exact same color.
Really?
Absolutely. So I don't care what you think. I think it's fantastic.
I called you the top. I don't know what else you want from me.
You can't take a compliment.
The Viper, because this didn't, there was no stock Viper color that came. Now, you ordered this from Ford.
Yeah.
And do you have to fill out the essay, like why I deserve?
It's been 3 years next month that I wrote the letter, the begging letter, please let me pay you a huge sum of money for your car. Yeah. And some of the guys made the videotapes and all that.
Right.
So it was thanks to Steve Reich and Leno, I think, that Leno put in a good word for me, and our good buddy Marv Rose, you know Marv Rose, I think those guys all put in a good, but Jay and Steve put it over the top.
It's weird you need, like, referrals, like you're trying to get into the Air Force Academy,
yeah.
You need, like, a senator to write you a note, be like, this guy's a stand-up guy, you should get him a Ford GT.
But you do, you had to write the essay.
Right.
And then you had to have some sort of a pretty big social... footprint there in the social media stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So you had to have that, and I think they want you to track it, and they want you to get it out there. So that's the only reason I came here. I don't care about you. I just had to bring it because Ford made me.
They just got to put miles on it.
Now, yeah, you're right. Obviously, there's the John Cena controversy where he was selling his, but contractually.
You're supposed to keep it for 2 years.
For 2 years.
Yeah, I understand. They don't want people flipping it.
Yeah. They're not that car's been sold like 3 times.
Yeah, well, they're not the first to do that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that. So the deal is you buy it. Well, it's always funny because whenever you talk to your wife about a car and they go, $600,000 for a car, who's going to buy it? It's like, who gets to buy a car for $600,000? Right. They'll decide who gets to. I mean, there's probably a pool of thousands, you know, internationally.
I think they said 4,000 or 5,000 applicants.
And they're going to whittle
cars
it down
over 4 years,
right?
50 years.
So who gets to, and then they get to make the rules, which I like. I like living in that world where you're.
Except you're not on the list.
I'm not on the
list.
I'm looking at a beige Camry, and I don't want to jinx it. Leno's blowing a call in later on today. It's 2011. It's got like 81,000 miles on it, but it's cloth interior, but you can put leather in it.
New CarMax accepted essays.
He knows a guy at the Van Nuys CarMax, and he says he'll blow a call in. So what are the specs on this? It has it's a 3.5
V6? Yes. Twin turbo V6.
Right.
645 horsepower. And Leno said today that it was 7-something. I thought it was at 645. That's what I hear. So
I hear it was about that as well.
Leno never gets it right. He's got too many cars.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't.
And he doesn't have one purple car.
I know. What is wrong with him?
He doesn't have a purple Dodge?
Does he?
I think he has a purple Challenger.
Yeah, see, that was the big thing back in the day.
Plum Crazy.
I have a purple Cuda. Plum Crazy.
Yes.
Come on, right. Cuda. So what? Why do you have a problem with that?
Well, the couple things. So the V6, which we used to kind of turn our nose up at, it's kind of an interesting renaissance, which is one of your favorite supercars from the early 90s, the
XJ220
Jag supercar, had a mid-engine turbocharged V6, and probably 2.5 or somewhere in there. It was frowned upon. It was like, oh, what are you doing with a V6? You should have V12 or V8 or whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's really just about performance. Nobody really cares what the displacement is. They just care what it does on the track. And this car is it's a serious machine.
I've only got 100 miles on it, so you know, it's still not even close to getting broken in. But I have a GTX1 as well, and this is it's not even close.
The GTX1's pretty special. We actually went and filmed over at his place a while back. We spent all this time driving his Batmobile around, and Warner Brothers wouldn't let us use it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What?
We couldn't use any of that footage. Oh, all the garage stuff we were able to
He has the new Batmobile, like not the,
yeah, he's
not
got
the
Tim
old
Burton
school.
We had a great time filming it.
It was 66 as well, though.
Yeah.
We're letting the museum borrow the 66 for a year. They're doing a whole...
So give us your top five in your collection.
There's the 66 Batmobile. There's the Keaton Batmobile. This has got to be up there now.
Sure.
Let's see what else. I don't know. The Morgan Supersport is freaking awesome.
I think we should.
Is that the one with the wood floors?
That's a wooden frame.
It's a wooden frame. And that thing, that's what Bruce Wayne would drive. It's crazy.
It's awesome. A cool piece.
Yeah.
Mine burnt in that fire. I smoked. Remember smoking that Tipperillo?
Yeah.
I got a little careless. My Morgan caught on fire. Can we name this? Let's see. There's Plum Crazy Purple.
Well, because you're not going to call it Fuck You Purple.
Fuck You Purple? Yeah. I think we call it Prince Crazy Top.
Yes.
And we'll call Graham Rahal's the Catfish. Bottom feeder.
Bottom feeder.
Catfish Purple. Plum Crazy Top. So if we see Graham, we'll go, oh, hey, you got the Catfish Purple. Oh, because Jeff Dunham got the Plum Crazy. He got the
Prince
Purple
Top. You know what it means. This must be so much fun for you to drive. I got a chance to drive one of these as well.
Yep.
And Ford sent one over. They said, do you want to go for a ride?
Wow.
You say yes.
Yeah.
And we had it for a couple days, and it's fantastic. And in the supercar world, one of my favorite cars is the McLaren 720S. It's just phenomenal to drive. But then I got this. I was like, man, just what this represents for Ford, and with the the Ford GT Legacy and the GT40 Legacy before that. This was one of my favorite cars.
Well, if anybody asks me, they say, what does it drive like? And it's got to be the McLaren MP4 12C, whatever that is. Yeah, that thing, it's like they're born of the same mother. It's really a similar feel. It's like when you want to go somewhere, it does it before you think it. It's really great.
Do you send the guys at Ford, like, you give them the paint code? How do you do it when you're ordering a car and it's coming in this color?
Well, this one, because I did the one of one with Chrysler for the Viper, and that one I was just sent a bunch of paint books, chip charts, and we just went through, and there were 20 different purples and literally narrowed it down to this. And so then when Ford was going to paint it, we how did we do it? We didn't scan it. Oh, I got the actual paint code and just sent it to them, and then they sent it back and said, is this it? And I went, yep, that's it. So yeah. We just sent them the paint code.
Well, it's one of one. It's Jeff Dunham. Jeff, where should people go? Because I know you're touring all over the place and playing dates all over the place.
JeffDunham.com. That's the tour. All the tour. Everything is there.
JeffDunham.com.
So, yeah, that's it.
In his Prince Crazy Top Purple 4GT, everybody. Yeah. Jeff Dunham.
Well, thank you. Jeff. All right. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, man.
So we're here with Mike Torville, who's that guy there in between's Matt the Motorator. Evans Cooling is the product, and we're standing in front of Jeff Dunham's Ford GT.
Yeah, in the purple. Only purple one ever.
And I don't know what Aston Martin that is.
It's an Aston Martin DBS. It's a new DBS.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, fantastic, right? And that color, it's a DBS Superleggero.
Yeah, the front fenders bother me a little bit. Mike, tell us about your product.
Well, Evans coolant is a waterless engine coolant, and really it's about the only waterless coolant you can find. All the other coolants are a 50-50 mix of ethylene glycol and water, as we all know. But the big difference with Evans is the absence of water, and then therefore the absence of the problems that water causes. So you think about corrosion, think about electrolysis, but more importantly, boil over, pressure. Evans has a boiling point of 375 degrees. Now, you never come close to that, and
they
that's
don't
the
make
idea.
Pasta with Evans.
No.
it'll be al dente.
Right.
Standing there all night.
Now, you think about that, with such a high boiling point, it stays a liquid, so you never have any vapor, you don't build any pressure, and you never boil out.
So the pressure is a big issue, because when you pop the cap or something goes wrong, or let's say in a racing environment, and you have a leak, that's where the mess comes, because there's so much pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Coolant goes all over the track, and it's a huge mess.
It's messy.
And in NHR drag racing, I think you pay a fine now, right? If your team drops oil or coolant, your team pays a fine.
You would, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because most glycol-based coolants are not allowed on NHRA tracks up until now.
So what, like,
because Evans is allowed.
When I do vintage racing, I think a lot of the guys add water, wetter,
to
just water.
Right.
But in a way, this is sort of the move from putting additive in conventional oil to going full synthetic. I mean,
Look at it that way, because it just behaves differently, and it prolongs, the life cycle is prolonged, right? So Evans will stay in your engine indefinitely. I mean, you never have to change it out.
Yeah.
Because the additives don't fall out. So it's very different.
We're here at the Peterson Automotive Museum, and they have a huge collection of hundreds of collector cars. And I know you guys work with them. Why would the Peterson pick Evans over water wetter or conventional coolant?
Yeah.
They don't drive the cars much.
Well, that's actually a good point, because when the cars sit for a long time, right, what happens? You know, the additives, the anti-corrosive additives fall out over time, right? And then you get corrosion or electrolysis, and electrolysis is the pitting that results from the electric current through the water. Well, without the water, that's not going to happen. And when this happens, it happens from the inside out. You don't know it till it's too late. That's why a lot of museums are using it. I mean, Jay Leno uses it. The Tim Welborn Muscle Car Museum, American Muscle Car Museum.
I think
Museum.
The Guggenheim is using it now, too.
They ought to, yeah.
It's great that your product goes in and it kind of coats everything and sticks to it to prevent that corrosion. And it's because when we talk to Leno at his place, he hates the ethanol in fuel.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it eats his old fuel lines, and he gets angry at the California fuels.
He gets angry at ethanol. If you talk to Jay Leno, the two things he hates are ethanol and Puerto Rican. I'm sorry if anyone's Puerto Rican, but he doesn't care for your people. But ethanol mainly.
Yeah. And water, too. And water, too.
He doesn't. Okay. Yeah.
And water, too.
Ethanol, yeah, yeah. Puerto Ricans, yeah. And water.
That's right.
And not in that order. Right. I'm not going to. You know what? I've said too much. Is Jay still here?
I think he just left. I think
okay. Well, he hates those three things. And we can fix at least one of them.
I was going to say with good reason, but the good reason applies to just the water.
Just
so,
the water.
You know,
and the ethanol. All right, so where do we get Evans?
You can certainly start off at the Evans Coolant website, evanscoolant.com. That's where you start. But it's available throughout dealerships throughout the country, Summit Racing, Amazon, places like that. But really, you can find it very easily.
Okay.
You know?
Now, before we wrap up, though, you guys, you wrote a book recently. Now, the book's going to be a movie. What's it about? How'd that happen?
I'm glad you asked. Yeah, actually, it was several years ago I wrote a book. It's called A Promise to Astrid.
Yeah.
And recently it got the attention of a movie producer, and the movie's being made. It's going to be premiered in May. It's called A Promise to Astrid. I just happen to have a copy.
Wow. No, wait, you wrote a book.
I wrote four books. No one's doing jack squat.
I can promote your book if you don't mind.
So we can find it.
Yeah, actually, I have a copy of it right here.
Wow.
Wow.
It's the
odd.
It's the book and the movie. It's coming out in May. Yeah, it's called Promise to Astrid. Yeah.
And then for the Evans Coolant, where do we find those guys online?
Evanscoolant.com.
Okay.
Okay, and again, you can find it in all kinds of places. On our website, we have a where to buy section, and that's easy to do. You can put in your address, put in your zip code, and you can find a dealer near you. You know, a couple other things I do want to mention about the NHRA, because it's real important that we started to talk about the NHRA and the racing and why glycols are not allowed. Evans is just as difficult to clean up as glycol-based coolant. It is a glycol-based coolant, but the difference, and I think it is worth mentioning to all the people listening, is if Evans is a glycol-based coolant, why would it be allowed when the 50-50 coolants aren't? And it's all about the pressure. The reduction of pressure means the likelihood of it getting on the track is decreased by so much. You're not going to have that happen in any great volumes. You might have a little spill to clean up.
Right.
And not have that problem.
Let me tell you guys about a pretty scary story that happened to me. I went on the Evans Coolant website, right? And I typed in closest location. And I typed in my own address. And it came back with, the coolant's in the house. Like that movie,
that's
The
scary.
Babysitter. I'm like, I'm home alone. I'm in the house. No! I freaked out pretty hard. I wasn't.
Run.
My just kids run. Were not the same for a couple of days after seeing what happened to me, but I had to get out.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's another scary movie. Get out.
Get out. That's right. It's in the house. All right, Mike. Thank you. And thank you
thanks
for your contribution.
Thanks for having us.
To literature and film as well.
Yeah.
And Evans Coolant, everybody. Go online.
Thank you.
I told you this was a special episode, and we're going to keep getting special because we're giving out some awards.
This is fun. This was an exciting part of the show for me.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking for me. But we gave out some special awards, so let's enjoy that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to hand out some hardware. Welcome to the first annual CarCast Car Show. Hosted by Adam Carolla and Matt DeAndrea. They are here to give away the awards, so let's hear it for them. On their 10th anniversary, the greatest automotive podcast of all time is CarCast. Please welcome Adam Carolla and Matt DeAndrea.
Hey. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. This is... turned out to be a little tougher than we thought in the judging department, but I have them all tallied up right here. this, for the first years, turned out to be quite a nice turnout, and it's all because of you. So normally this department, they go, give yourselves a hand. I hate that. So just give me a hand, and thank you. Oh, come on. Hey, please, come on. I wasn't expecting this.
Stop.
It's not, come on. It's not...
not what I'm here for. So we went around and we scouted out some different cars. We have the People's Choice Award, and we have Best in Show, and we have Your Choice,
yes.
And we have My Choice. I'll give honorable mention to the Ford Ranchero over there. It didn't quite get it, but it's close.
Yeah.
And I see the American flag waving there, and I just thought it'd be give a little love to something American. All right, do you want to start out with yours first?
So my pick is, just for the wackiness of that car, is I don't know what number it is. It's number 54, and it's that Datsun 510 Drifter right over there.
Yeah.
There's so much going on with that thing. I love that. Why don't you come on up here? We've got a plaque for you. We've got some awards for you. Our friends at Brembo hooked you up with backpacks and books and shirts, and
they've burned a lot of calories and a lot of vulcanized rubber with that bad boy.
What you didn't get was a Brembo brake kit, so you get a hat though. That's nice.
Yeah, but listen, a hat'll slow you down. You whip that thing out, throw it out the driver's side window, grabs all the air, boom, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
good job
guys,
on that
man.
Car. Oh, his hand's messed up. He broke his hand drifting.
Have you guys? Sure, man. Sure. Thanks, you guys. It's a great piece. I'm a 5'10 guy, and I didn't even know it was a 5'10. That's how crazy that is.
Which is interesting. Just great job on that car. Fun. Super fun.
So much good stuff out there, but mine was near and dear to my mom's heart. Number five, it was a VW Squareback over here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what got me. It's got a Subaru motor in it.
Yes.
It has a 97 Subaru motor in the VW Squareback, and just nicely done.
These guys are going to bring you some more stuff.
Yeah, we'll bring you the swag. So,
Chris, give this guy a plaque.
That was that was nice. The you want to do the People's Choice Award?
People's Choice Award. You guys voted. You submitted your ballots, and guess what you picked? No.
No, number 43, the Chevy Blazer.
Chevy Blazer. Yeah.
Well,
just bring everybody up.
By the way, the Blazer guy's smoking a joint with my son in the stairwell. It's like, oh, you've not been introduced to drugs? Well,
it's no better time than now.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, we'll take photos
congratulations.
Afterward. Best in Show. Now, to be honest, I was wandering around. There's a lot of cars that I like.
You're not allowed to pick your own.
Oh.
No, you can't pick your own.
But you said this is my show.
Yeah, I just, not for the award. Sorry.
Well, let me ask you, when it's your party, are you allowed to eat the food? Or
I don't...
Well, because this is the same difference.
Yeah. All right.
So we're going over to 935. Oh, no. No, this is a red Porsche. It's number 73, and the car was very nicely done. And Jonathan Ward, and you guys know Jonathan Ward from
Icon
Motors. He's a guy who is very detail-oriented, and I just ran into him back there with his Bronco, and he's like, hey, did you see that red Porsche? That's a pretty nice job. And when Jonathan Ward tells you that's a pretty nice job, it's like Chinese middle-aged dude going, nice job with the math. Like, it's a compliment.
Yeah.
It's a compliment. They don't hand them out that. I mean, he doesn't hand them out that often.
Right.
But he said that Porsche was done nicely. And I was like, I was just thinking about that car. So that is
number 73.
Number 73. And
that's you? Come on.
Oh, there he
there.
Is. Yeah.
So do we have our award winners? Do we have our four award winners? Why don't you guys come up here?
Yeah, come
up
on up
stage,
Bring
those fancy plaques and Brembo hats.
The rest of you are not losers, but you shouldn't be mistaken for winners. That's all I'm saying. Yes. Yes, bring your plaques.
Come on up here.
Those plaques are suitable for Frame
this one's got my name on it, so why don't you stand right next here? I'm going to pick somebody shorter next time.
Right, and let's all just display the plaque.
Right there. All right. Nicely done, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. This was excellent, and, you know, we'll do it next year unless I get caught up in this whole Me Too thing, in which case I'm going to have to lay low for a while. There's some stuff coming out, mostly threes and fours, really not enough. You know what? I probably said too much. We'll probably do it next year. I'm going to have Mark Garagos come up here and say a couple of words, and then we can just go ahead and... Are we taking pictures?
I'm taking a picture of them.
Oh, you're taking a picture of them. Oh, them. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just proof as you guys showed up.
Yes.
I'm going to text my mom later. See, people showed up.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for showing up. I hope you all stick around
for the screening. Stick around and watch the screening. Right.
And have a cocktail.
And have a cocktail. Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next year.
So we had a whole day out at the Peterson on the roof outdoors in the sunshine, and then we moved inside to watch Uppity. And Willie T was there.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, and everyone loved it, I got a standing ovation. I think there were tears in the audience.
I'll tell you a quick little fact is Billy Gibbons, who came and watched it, he loved it so much. We actually saw him taking notes. We're like, what are you doing? And he's like, I love this story, this film so much. Some of this could end up in a song.
I love it.
That was a great impact. He was touched by the whole thing.
I hope he remakes the classic Transfusion.
That would be fantastic.
So we did a Q&A afterward, and Nate only answered one question with the mic in his lap, which is fantastic movement.
He was only asked one question, so it was fine.
Right before he went up, I said, Nate, he's going to talk to you about that mic. Just keep it right up there. He's like, I got it.
Sure.
You can find a picture of him just sitting there. The mic is just sitting on his leg. He only answered one that way, though. God bless him.
All right,
so let's listen to a Q&A with me and Nate, the makers of the film, and Willie T.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to bring up Adam Carolla and Willie T. Ribs. Thank you all for coming out.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you all. Thank you very much. It's all for this guy.
It's all for Willie. I told you he was a soundbite machine, right?
You should have heard what got edited.
Right? Yeah.
I think we're just going to open this up to some Q&A. Willie, would you like to make a statement before we open it up?
Well, first of all, thanks for everyone being here and sharing the experience. It was... Adam's doctor was sitting next to me watching this, and he says, man, he says, you dealt with a lot, didn't you? I said, remember the scene in Scarface where Pacino says, don't worry about it, it was fun. Well, it was fun. And I don't think that I would have enjoyed it any other way. It was just something about the ops. When something's too easy, you know, it's really, you don't really look at yourself in the mirror and said, I accomplished anything. But I'd do it all over again. If somebody said, would you absolutely do it just the way you did it? I said, I would tell them, yeah. I wouldn't change anything. I might have not partied as much. My wife reminds me of that.
All right. And by the way, that was Dr. Bruce who was sitting next to me. I don't travel with my doctor. I'm not like Elvis or something. It's time for your B12 injection. You have to go on stage. Sober him up. He's got to go on stage. That was Dr. Bruce. So do we have questions from the audience? Yes. So when did you retire? What race and why?
It's like a racehorse. They want to put you out to pasture, and maybe they want to use you for, dog food or glue. And, it was really 2001 was, it went from 1977 to 2001. And, once you get through the 80s and when you're younger, 90s and your heyday, the new kids are coming along and most of them got more balls than brains. And so you're going to be challenged, just like the old lion and the young lions. Well, the hyenas don't really go after the younger lions. So the old ones, they want to nip in the ass. So it was about two. And you can feel it. I mean, like in all sports, I'm sure Michael Jordan would play for the next 100 years if he could. But, you start in Germany, they have a saying, you've lost some feathers.
A lot of people might not have gotten the Michael Jordan reference. First black man to play basketball. Way back in 86, 87. Yeah, first black man to lace up the high tops.
That's our next documentary.
It's our next doc, yeah. Oh, you don't know his name now, but you will 18 months from now.
Thanks. It was a fantastic film. Honor to see it like this and get to talk to you guys. Willie, you clearly are not someone who needs a lot of validation from other people, but what has it meant to you to be involved in this and to see the film like this?
Well, these two guys right here, I don't know if... they saw what was happening, and they saw what happened. And, there's a lot of producers out there from Spike Lee to whomever. These two guys, they said, this is a story that needs to be told. And I can't, a lot of people don't have the vision or the... or the foresight, or even the tenacity. I mean, Adam did it with his own money. His own money.
Hold on, my wife doesn't know.
Oh,
I told her Casserole paid for the whole fucking thing. Yeah. Wait a minute. Where's my money? Yeah. Well, you saw the story. We just told the story. I mean, it was, we knew there was so much there that it just couldn't go wrong. I always sort of said to Nate, like, all we can do is F this up. Like, we just go
He's
tell
exactly
this,
right. Tell, more I like more to, than once.
That's how I encourage coworkers. All we can do is fuck this up. Now, go. We knew we had here. So, labor of love, it would be nice to make some of that money back at some point, but you don't really make documentaries to make money. What I like about, making the documentaries is it's here, it'll always exist, it'll be here long after we're all gone. People can hear about this story, learn about this story, and tell this story. And it's all in, one 96-minute DVD. So I just like that idea coming from radio, where everything just kind of goes up into the ether and then just blows away. This'll be here forever. So it was a story that deserved to be told, and we just told it. And we couldn't have done it without Willie, obviously. We couldn't have done it if he wasn't doing what he did, and we couldn't have done it if he didn't contribute the way he did.
Well, I got to tell you, I get a call from Nate, and Nate says, do you think Bernie Ecclestone, now everyone in here knows that Bernie Ecclestone is the big kahuna. I mean, he's, of anyone in all of auto racing history, Bernie is the biggest. And Nate says, you think Bernie Ecclestone would do an interview? I said, yeah, he'll do it. And Nate says to me, Adam Carolla will bet you that he won't. I said, he's going to take that bet? I said, okay. What kind of percentage? And so I said, no, forget it. I emailed Bernie Ecclestone, and I said, we're doing this, Bernie, and for your, and I went politics on him. I said, how do you want to be remembered, Mr. Ecclestone? That's exactly what I put in the email. I said, how many of the millions of African Americans in the United States, and forget about that, worldwide, are going to know what you did? I mean, they all see Lewis Hamilton now, but who did it first? I got an email back. When do you want to do it? I said, June 17th. He says, I get an email back, be in my office at 11 a.m. He gave us 3 hours. None of the people, none of the big wheels in auto racing in this country could believe Ecclestone would do that. And Bernie was very good to me. And he was, and still today, I love him like an uncle. And I've had those mentors. I mean, think about this. Paul Newman. I know Bill's in jail, but if it wasn't for Bill, you know, and I remember what happened. Okay? I didn't, whatever. He didn't, I, there was nothing. I remember what happened. He did it. He did it. No one else did it. He put me in Indy. So I can't say anything other than he did it. And he's serving, and he's doing his time. And justice was served, but he still put me there. And then Ecclestone, and then Jim Truman, and then Dan Gurney. It was a dream career.
I'd like to take this moment to thank Louis C.K. for helping me in my career. Now look, a lot has been said about the man. I understand where you're coming from, but as a comedian, he got me up on that open mic that December 1990. Okay. All right.
First, Adam, Nate, great job. It was amazing. Way to sneak Deacon Jones in there. I caught what you did there. But thank you, Willie, for having an amazing life to tell this story. You talked a lot about kind of your grandfather giving you the grit to keep pushing forward. I think to do what you did, you had to be uppity to face the obstacles, the world, the time. Where do you think you got that swagger to do what you did? Was it in you? Was it inspired by someone? Where do you think you got that?
It was that pretty much. I was sent to the ranch for a reason. And, you know, it would have been not uppity, it would have been downity. He worked the hell out of me on the ranch. And, I mean, if I had today's kids, I'd take them all out of the cities, out of the suburbs, and put them on a ranch. Put them on a ranch. And I mean, the work ethic, you came from that. My wife came from that. And I just think it builds a lot of character. And with him, you didn't say anything. When he told you to do something, you did it. You didn't say, well,
I'm quite the disciplinarian myself. As a father, Sonny, back me up.
Yeah.
He went, once he got out of line, 2 days he went without eating ranch dressing. So that's this guy's ranch right here. And I said, you want, now he had honey Dijonais dipping sauce, but he didn't have ranch for 2 days. And he started getting smart. I said, you're gunning for 3 days, pal. He zipped it. So I took him to the ranch. I didn't grow up on a ranch like you guys. Mine's from Hidden Valley, okay? Which, or maybe a ranch. Yeah, we do that shit in La Cañada. That's the way we discipline. thanks, you guys, for showing up. Willie T. Ribs.
Yeah, and I have one more announcement. If you have a red wristband, a blue wristband...
So I want to thank all you for coming out. And I want to thank Evans for making this special episode of CarCast possible. We have a new show out tomorrow. Is that correct, Max Pata?
Yeah, new show tomorrow. Also, thanks to the Peterson Museum and Brembo and Holly for the prizes.
And where can you find us this weekend?
Well, you can check us out at the in Orange County at the Classic Auto Show event on Saturday.
So come say hi. We always like saying hi. I'm doing live shows everywhere, so go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where we're doing stand-up. Not Taco Bell material. It's out as we speak. You get it at Chassis, and you can get it at iTunes and Amazon. And also, we're doing another showing at the Cine Lounge, which is, I guess it's called the Arena Cine Lounge. It's in L.A. That'll be this Sunday, March 17th, 6 p.m. Go to amcarolla.com or Fandango. I'll be there, and we'll show it live. So, and check out Shift and Steer, available on iTunes and Podcast One. Until next time, Adam Carolla from Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.